Welcome back to the Fourth Corner version of Saturday Morning Live. We're lucky to have with us today Senator Mike Padden from Spokane Valley, the city of. And he's going to talk to us in our longer segment about maybe some of those bills like 1719, the ones that have to do with law and justice and some of the issues that occurred when the legislature passed laws on a lot of control for the blue. Senator, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Thanks, Charlie. Yeah, last session was really a bad one, in my view, for public safety, for morale, for our law enforcement folks who lay their lives on the line for us. They go into harm's way. Yep. When other people are going away from it, they're not perfect, but we need to support them. And the result of those laws, there's been a big uptick in crime and violent crime. The gangs have been emboldened. The majority party decriminalized, in effect, a felony drug possession, which emboldens the gangs. There's more. Yeah. Tagging, you hate to even drive through the city of Seattle. There's so much gang graffiti all over our public roads and everything. So the problem's gotten a lot worse. There's been many that have left the law enforcement field in certain areas, and it's been tough to replace them. So the Democrats saw the pushback. There was actually some pushback in some of the municipal elections in 2021, especially in Federal Way, where Representative Jesse Johnson, who was the sponsor of a lot of these bills that weakened law enforcement and public safety in his city, three more conservative candidates got elected, and they now have a majority on the Federal Way City Council. Right. So they are trying to do some damage control, make some corrections. They don't go anywhere near far enough to restore things, in my view, like they were before some of this legislation. And there were a whole host of bills, so there's not time to go through all that. But you did mention 1719. That is a small fix. Part of the legislation last year restricted the use of 50 caliber shotguns.
Right.
So that was used for beanbags, for rubber bullets, for soft nose sponges, any some non-penetrating projectiles. And we had situations like down in Longview, Charlie, where the police were trying to break up a drug house down below, and they normally would have used the beanbags, shot them down there, and rousted out the folks, but they couldn't do it. So the police were, you know, ended up having to throw sticks and stones.
You're kidding me.
And some of this stuff was ridiculous. Anyway, this bill did pass out of the House. It's passed out of our Law and Justice Committee as in rules, and it's pretty much passed unanimously. I think they will make that correction and restore a non-lethal tool to law enforcement to help in de-escalation. They say they want to de-escalate things, but they took a lot of the tools away. One tool that I have harped on and tried to get restored, but they won't do it, is the vascular neck restraint, which is quite different from the chokehold, and has been proven very successful in the sense there's not been any injuries to perpetrators or to law enforcement. We had evidence-based testimony about the Spokane Police Department and law enforcement in Pierce County and in Canada. And despite that, it was all emotion and the equivalent, trying to say chokeholds and neck restraints are the same. But and so when you don't have a non-lethal tool or de-escalation tool, then what do? You escalate and you use a taser or you use a baton or you end up using deadly force. So There's a lot of fixes that need to be made. They're fixing a few things. They're trying to. None of these bills have passed and been signed by the governor yet, Charlie.
But there's one. I think it's SB 5919, which says it passed the Senate. And it was concerning the definition of physical force, necessary and totalitary of the circumstances, whatever that means.
Right, right. We were successful there in strengthening that on the floor. The Law and Justice Committee did not want to take those amendments, but we did strengthen it on the floor. All the Republicans and our conservative Democrat ally, Senator Sheldon, and then we... There were 10 other Democrats that broke ranks with a majority of Democrats and voted for that floor amendment. So, yeah, that gives a better situation for law enforcement. The totality of the circumstances are kind of a legalese definition, but all facts known to the peace officer leading up to and the time of the use of force and includes the actions of the alleged perpetrator who they're using the force on and the actions of the peace officer. They also define physical force and necessary. All that taken together is something that law enforcement supported. That bill is now over in the Public Safety Committee in the House. What they will do with it is uncertain, so we'll see. But they're having a hearing on it this coming week, I believe.
Then the last one in the Law and Justice that I have here that would be interesting to know something about is concerning vehicular pursuits. Did that get anywhere?
Well, that was also part of 5919, and that's where we maybe made our strongest gains, and they actually used reasonable suspicion there for detaining somebody. There's always been the debate. One of the worst things they did last year is get rid of reasonable suspicion, which has been the standard for law enforcement all over the country for decades, and replaced it with probable cause, and basically allowed a lot of criminal activity to not be stopped. So here on the pursuit, they did go back to the reasonable suspicion that the person in the vehicle has committed or is about to commit a violence offense, sex offense, escape, DUI, and some other crimes. And then they can pursue them if the pursuit is necessary, if the person poses a public safety risk, and they have authorization to continue the pursuit. A little concerned about that because they don't always have time they're pursuing, and you know, got to make a phone call to their supervisor.
Yeah, that doesn't work sometimes.
That's in there. So those are the four requirements, but we did make some gains. And whenever we can replace the reasonable suspicion for the initial detention, put reasonable suspicion in there rather than the probable cause, it's better for public safety and returns to the standard that we had before all these laws that they passed last year.
So just changing the road a little bit, 5909, I believe, the emergency powers of the governor bill. What's the outcome of that one?
Well, that is passed the Senate. A lot of us felt that the little good it did was quite minor, and that we needed something more substantial. This still requires all four of the legislative leaders to agree in principle to rein in the governor's power. It's not a situation where you would have to go back to the legislature and get their approval. It's the other way around. So, in my opinion, it does a little bit, but very, very little. But there are folks on both sides of the aisle that did vote for that on that basis. I did not, and really felt we needed to make something happen that was more substantive.
So they voted no on that, right?
Most of the Republicans did, not all of them. And the bill is over in the House, and I'm sure they will try to strengthen it. Hopefully they will. I sort of doubt it, but we'll see. It appears, Charlie, that there is a movement towards the Republicans, that folks are concerned, both on the national level and the state level, on some of the things that have happened. We talked about the emergency powers. The governor is, what, about 715 days? We've had one-man rule, and no special sessions during that time, like other Democrat-controlled states like Oregon and California and Nevada, but we've continued to have kind of one-person rule. There's concern over all the law enforcement stuff. There's concern on some of these mandates. There's concern on taxes, long-term care. They've now got a transportation bill that is going to harm greatly a lot of people in your area because they've got this export tax, and now there's a lot of talk of retaliation by Alaska, Oregon, and Idaho. Hopefully, there'll be enough of that they'll take that off. But you know, what were they thinking? And at a time when we had a tremendous alternative of simply moving the sales tax revenue from automobile sales and perhaps right. auto parts sales from the general fund into transportation. And this has been, we offered an amendment to do that. All the Republicans and all the Republicans supported that. And of course, it failed. But I think that's what the people want. And no tax increases, no fee increases. Some of these fees are increasing 300-500%. I think there's a clear distinction on some of these things. Another issue that seems to be hot that people haven't talked about is the Democrat proposal to eliminate zoning for single-family homes.
Right.
And people are upset about that. They're upset that they're not doing more. We've got Senator Jeff Wilson, who's led the charge to increase penalties for stealing catalytic converters, which are just astronomical. In my area, they're stealing them from school buses and a number of used car dealers who have very slim margins of profit. I mean, there's all sorts of issues out there that are concerning. Another is some of the other social issues. There's this Bill 5833 5883, which is an anti-parents' rights bill and would allow no lower age limit, but to some of these children to make their have medical decisions made for them by DSHS or, people and with no accountability. They'd have complete civil liability, complete criminal liability, and a complete liability from discipline from their profession.
Is that passing?
Well, it passed the Senate. I went on both Carlson and Lars Larson talking about it. They had a hearing, and the people that signed up, Charlie, against the bill were over 1,000. People for it were about 100. But the bill's coming up, and I believe one of your legislators from the 42nd Representative Rule is on that committee. But it's a horrible anti-parents' rights bill. So there's a number of things like that, efforts to expand abortion even more. There's the assisted suicide bill, which has not, we've had the hearing on it, but it has not come up for a vote yet. I don't know if it will or not. So I appreciate all the people that get engaged, that sign up, even if they aren't testifying, and let the folks know their position on bills. And then all the people that do testify on some of on the conservative side on some of these issues.
What in our last minute, we got a little less than a minute left. Do you have any comments or conclusions?
Well, I just encourage people to really care and I know they do, care about their country, care about their state, be engaged. There is still an opportunity, I think, to save things, to turn this state around in another direction.
Senator Patton, thanks very much for your time, and thanks for coming on. Good luck down there. Let's try to gain what we can.
All right. Well, good talking to you again, Charlie. Thank you.
You take care.